Hello and welcome to the Collapsing Game Shelf Podcast, a podcast by a bunch of people who have way too many board games. I'm Tom and I'm joined by...
Justin.
Adam.
And Debbie.
It's almost like we forgot how to do this.
Or who our names are.
Sitting in a different order that we should introduce ourselves.
Sitting in a different order. We just played the game. Everything's all to hell.
We're sitting in the same order, aren't we?
No, we're not.
Usually over there.
I'm usually over there.
And
we've always introduced ourselves, I think, in that.
Yeah, but I don't think that order is really that important, is it?
Okay, so I'm a little OCD.
It just confused people.
Yeah, it's all good.
Today, we recently played
Unearth.
Unearth.
Reclaim. Rebuild. Remember?
Do you want to
flip that fucker over?
Yeah. Oh, that's bad.
That'll come through great.
Yep. On the back of the box, it gives you a nice little blurb. It says, long ago, your ancestors built great cities across the world. Now your tribe of delvers must explore forests, deserts, islands, caverns, and mountains to find these lost cities. Claim the ruins, build places of power, and restore the glory of a bygone age. Unearth is a dice placement game for 2 to 4 players, designed by Jason Harner and Matthew Ransom. It is a compelling strategy game. Players must balance 2 paths to victory.
Compelling might be a stretch.
So, fun game you can play while reading the rule book is every time someone says wonder, you take a shot.
Or ruins.
Well, I mean, that's if stones. You just want to get trashed.
Yeah.
Every time you heard stone or ruin.
There are 3 main things in this game, and that's stones, ruins,
and wonders.
And wonders.
Yep.
And it's everywhere.
It is all over the rule book.
Yeah, you'll see the same word repeated probably 4 times in one sentence. The wonder is if this and the wonder. And
It was pretty funny because like when Adam was reading the rule book out loud, I think we heard the same sentence of
to make us
you get
circle.
Stones from ruins to make wonders, and wonders and ruins are the ways you get points. Ruins and wonders are how you get points to win the game. How do you win the game? Wonders and ruins.
But you also need stones to get those wonders.
But Justin, how do I get a wonder?
Well, you need stones.
And where do you get them?
Ruins.
The ruins. So anyway, the how-to of this game is it's not as simple as it looks. The art is its cards are beautiful. You put out the
it's pretty simple once you actually get going.
Yeah, I felt like the setup was a little bit more fiddly than I would expect from something like this, but anyway, you get your ruins cards. If you want, you can play along with us as we you can take a drink every time we say that word, and I don't know, see how trash you get at the end. I'm not taking responsibility for it though.
Yeah, we're not going to cover your hospital bills when you
play
for alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, the setup, everyone gets a secret ruin card, which is like they're the one of 5 colors. There's the purple blackish ones, blue,
dark purple, light purple.
Yeah, there's dark purple, blue, green, red, and light purple, which I fucked up the first time. Because the light purple and the dark purple, like, I got a secret light purple one, and it looked exactly like the dark purple ones. They just looked so similar to me that I didn't realize that there was a difference.
I don't know. In the end, I don't know that they looked so similar. I think it just came down to the fact that you looked at the color, and you're like, okay, it's purple.
Yeah.
And then just didn't think beyond beyond the color. You didn't think, oh, there might be a different shade of the same color.
Yeah.
Because I did the same thing. And they're very markedly different.
Yeah.
You just do not think about it.
Yeah. Everyone gets a secret one, which is one of the 5 colors. Then you make a stack of the colored ones, and then you put a special ending card on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then you lay 5 of these ruins out as the sort of starting tableau. Then you get yourself
then you have to remove 5.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna worry about that. Okay. But fine, you want to get into the minutiae, we're just gonna read them the rule book now. Go right ahead, Justin. I'll be back in 20 minutes.
Well, I was just talking how to set it up.
It's fine. Anyway, you get yourself the wonder cards. There's like named wonders, and you get a set number of those depending on how many people are playing that get to sit there. You get the large large wonders and small wonders?
Greater and lesser wonders.
Greater wonders are worth more and lesser wonders are worth less. And then the Delver cards, everybody gets two cards, which you can use at the start of your turn to do something like add plus one to a die roll or...
Reroll
a bunch of dice or...
Roll two dice.
Or add plus two to your next d6 or something like that. Everybody gets two of those, and then there's just a stack of them. And then off you go. Well, straight to sorry. The everybody get, and all of the ruins cards have two numbers on them. The number in the top left tells you sort of like the number you have to beat to be able to claim the card. And then in the bottom right, there's how many stones go on it. Stones come in five colors, red, blue, black.
Yellow.
Is there only four colors?
I believe there's only four colors.
Shit.
Yep.
Yeah, there are.
We just played this. Four colors, as we said. And every round, you pick out of your pool of dice. There's three. Everybody gets three six-sided dice, one four-sided die, and one eight-sided die. And what you do is you play whatever cards you want from your hand, and then you pick one of the ruins to roll on, and then you pick which die you want to roll on, and then you roll. Then you put it on there.
Yep.
If you get a one, two, or three on any of these dice, then you get, or on the die you roll, then you get to take one of the stones and you put it in front of you in sort of whatever configuration you want. And if at the end of your, at the end of any time a die is rolled or something is done, you check to see if you've, the number of dice that are on the card exceed or equal the number that's in the top left of the card, and then if it is, then the person with the highest number on a die on that card gets to take the card.
And then there's a long list of tiebreakers.
then if you get a stone and you arrange it in like a, if you make like a circle out of it, kind of, because they're all hexagonal, you can take a wonder. And it can be, depending on which, what colors you've used to make the circle, you can take some of the named wonders, or you get to take a lesser wonder or a greater wonder, and they're all different stuff. And yeah, some of them, the named ones give you special bonuses, and the lesser and greater ones are just more points. And so there's these two sort of tacks you can take to getting points, either through the ruins, which is kind of like a set collection type thing. So the more of one color you get, the more points you get, but you also get some extra points if you collect one of each color. And then that's your basic way of winning the game is either you sort of go down the ruins route of getting ruins of the same color or sets of them, or you try to go for getting a lot of wonders. If you find that you're rolling ones, twos, and threes, you can try to build a whole bunch of these rings.
And if you're still sober at this point, we applaud you.
And ruins, wonder.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even in that very abridged explanation, all that seemed to come up was ruins, wonders, and stones.
Which makes sense because there's literally only three things to do.
That's true.
really, three or four elements of this game. It's very simple. So,
it is.
Now you know how to play on Earth. Go get them.
Go get them, Tagger.
Well, Adam opened up the box, so I can't look at the back of the box, but I think that if we listen to what you had said, what, like the comment that was on the back of the box, I don't know what, I'm sorry, I'm getting funny looks. The way that it reads on the back of the box, I feel like that did not get portrayed in the game very well. Because I assure you, I was not building any cities. I was not.
No. Like,
Adam, if we can, we're going to try to put the box back together so we can flip it over. And sorry, you said it's a, what are you trying to do?
So it is a dice placement game for 2 to 4 players.
Yeah.
Designed by Jason Harner and Matthew Ransom.
In the speech.
In this compelling strategy game, players must balance two paths to victory. Long ago, your ancestors built great cities across the world. Oh. Now your tribe of Delvers must explore forests, deserts, islands, caverns, and mountains to locate these lost cities.
Yeah, no, and I don't remember seeing anything about deserts. I don't know. I mean, the colors, I'm assuming that the colors are what they were aiming for. But
even the colors, like, they're very nice, kind of geometric shapes and designs and stuff, but
it's a very surreal art style.
Yeah.
Like it's,
but I couldn't tell that I was in a cave or desert. It was just a different background color.
And you weren't, and I, the other thing that I have issue with about what they said is that they said that they're using, you're using your Delvers to
explore,
Yeah. But at one point in the game, Adam had probably upwards of 10 to 12 Delvers in his hand because he wasn't using them, because you don't need to use them. So why?
Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just don't have the option because it is very random.
Right.
Is the thing.
So, but the way that it's written there, it makes me feel like you need Delvers to take, like Delvers are what's doing the work.
You and could think of your dice as Delvers.
I guess you could. I mean, I just, I don't know. I think that in my eyes, I think that there's quite a disconnect between the flavor text on the back and
the actual gameplay.
The actual gameplay. I think that, I don't think the two connect very well in my eyes personally.
So I think when what they're trying to get at here is amongst like your tribe of Delvers must explore forests, deserts, island, caverns, and mountains. I think what they're trying to get at is like they're referencing your dice as Delvers, right? So they're like your dice are like members of your tribe, right? And then when it talks about going to explore, I think they're talking about, you know, the whole aspect of rolling the die and putting it on one of these ruins. It's like they're taking time to explore the ruins. Because once you put a die on a card, like you're not getting it back until that card is scored. Or, I mean, there are certain cards that can get played from someone's hand that maybe make you re-roll a die.
I think you can call them back. Like, if you want to, you can take a die off of a card and move him, I think.
I thought that's only when you run out of dice.
Oh, only when you run out?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's only if you have no Delvers left to roll. And we never got to that situation. I didn't even get close to that situation.
No. I guess, yeah, it's possible. Maybe more possible with a two-player game.
I suppose, if you're spread out. Yeah.
But yeah, I guess it also makes sense that they are Delvers because you get the Delver cards when your dice come back.
So it's like the Delvers found out or whatever.
Returning, so maybe you get some new members or they found something, but you didn't get the rune.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, like
a little consolation prize.
And again, I think they're just trying to give names to... like the five colors, right? Like the forests are obviously maybe the green cards, right? And the deserts are probably the
white ones?
Yellow cards.
Like the brownish
one. The brownish yellow ones. And then the mountains are kind of like the orangey red ones.
Oh, that's what I just meant for the desert.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Black ones?
Well, the black ones, in my thoughts, like the blacky purple ones would be like caverns. And then, of course, the blue ones are islands, right?
Yeah.
Like it looks... Again, I think everyone knows where I'm headed with this, right? Anybody who has played a certain collectible card game, you know, made by a certain company that is based out of Seattle.
I think you're allowed to name it.
Oh, okay. So if you've ever played Magic the Gathering from Wizards of the Coast, there's a good chance that you're familiar with the five colors and the mana. The names of the mana that are associated with them, right? Like mountains are red, swamps are blue. In this case, they aren't using swamps, they're using caverns. Deserts are kind of representing the plains, which would be kind of like the whitey, yellowy, golden sort of thing. Forests, of course, being green, and islands are blue.
So you missed the light purple. You added a color and...
Okay, well, once again, we have forests, deserts, islands, caverns, and mountains.
Maybe, so, did you guys just add a color? Maybe there was no color difference and you just assumed there was.
Oh, no, there was. I assure you, there's a really big color difference. Plus, you needed 5 to get the 5+ points.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know. All I'm saying is that I just think that there's a disconnect between what it says on the back thematically.
Out of all the games we've played so far, this one seems the most slapped on, maybe. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Like just put a theme over top.
It's weird because the art is super cool. Like I really like the drawings on these things. I mean it kinda makes sense when you talk about the Delvers, but when you read the back of the box, and go through like what the promise of this is, like that doesn't come through. It doesn't. It's not nearly as exciting as it sounds. And I mean, if you go to a game like Archaeology, I think is what it is. Is that what it's?
Yeah, the little card game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Archaeology, like that one. That one makes you feel like you're digging through a desert. I mean, every once in a while, a sandstorm comes and rips your shit apart. So, I mean, that one feels like you're going through some shit to get, like, treasures and stuff. This, I mean, this just, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I like parts of it. But, like, I agree with you. It doesn't really fulfill its promise of, hey, let's go dig up some ancient ruins and see what we find.
And I honestly didn't realize that until Adam read it out loud. Like, Adam is reading it out loud, and I'm kind of getting this, huh?
Is that what we did?
Did I play the same game that you're reading about? Because that's definitely not what came across for me. I mean, other than that, it's a bit, I don't know, it's a bit simply convoluted, I guess? I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, I don't know. It promises strategy, and there is some strategy there, but because there's just so much randomness, everything just, it kind of feels like I'm playing a roll and move game. Because it's just kind of like, okay, I pick a card, I roll the dice. That's not what I wanted. Shit. Your turn.
Yeah, so we played this twice. Typically, we kind of, I think we try to play things most of the time twice just to get, you get that first game out where it's, you know, everybody kind of is trying to figure out what they're doing. And then the second game, you kind of go into it with a better idea and it's like, okay, well, maybe I'll kind of change up the way that I'm playing. But reality is, I don't know that anybody other than yourself maybe changed up the way that they were playing. It was very heavily came down to how did your dice roll?
Yeah.
First game out, Justin and myself had this, like, the four curse. We were rolling fours like nobody's business.
Didn't matter the dice.
Yeah. And that's really, like, there's no advantage to rolling a four. Like, you get no stones out of it. You're probably not going to win the actual ruin out of it because it's not high enough. And so all of a sudden, like, first game around, embarrassingly enough, Justin and I were, like, literally 10 and below for points.
Yep.
And that's, I mean...
The other two got 20, 30, around there?
I believe Tom ended up in, like, the high 20s, low 30s, and I was in the mid 20s at the end of our game. The first game felt very polarized. Right, you had two players who felt that they had accomplished something, you know, in terms of advancing towards a victory condition, and then you felt that you had two players that just ended up with like feel bad moments. Right, this is something that I constantly feel, and I know that I've said it before, maybe not on the podcast, but I've said it before, just when talking about games that strongly featured dice to begin with. Is that dice tend to create potential for feel bad moments because it is random, right? Like in this case, I mean the game does a good job of trying to balance like those feel bad moments because they're like, look, if you roll like a 1, 2, or 3, I mean you can get this stone,
you get something out of it,
exactly, but. Then at the same time, if you roll a 5 or 6 on a 6-sided die, for example, right? If you roll really high, if you roll to the high end of the dice, you tend to have a good chance of winning the ruin.
Yeah.
But that 4 is that just
the
kind
middle
of
the road just gets you nothing.
It's the no man's land, right? Like 4 is probably, believe it or not, 4 is probably the worst number you could actually roll.
Yeah, because you get nothing and you're not going to win.
Well, and you think about it, it's funny because so let me start with the one thing that I really like about what they did with this game is they brought in two of your less known die, right? Like most games that have dice in them are 6-sided dice. So I like the fact that they brought in a 4 and an 8-sided die. I think that it's something that you're introducing to a lot of people that don't necessarily realize they're out there unless you're kind of D&D players, and maybe that's just my opinion, but I think less people know or see those dice.
And thematically speaking, again, I know that theme in this game is a little bit of a
loose concept.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rocky road, if you will. But thematically, I mean, it does kind of make sense in that maybe you have one Delver in this case. Maybe you have a Delver that's more adept at exploration and more experienced with exploration. So maybe he can explore better, therefore giving you, you know, these higher numbers, giving you this 8-sided die. And then on the other hand, maybe you have a Delver that's not quite as seasoned in this, giving you the 4-sided die. You know, again, this is still very grasping at straws here. And this is just trying to, you know, like I guess in this case, I mean, I'm trying to kind of play devil's advocate in that, like, this is what I think the designers were going for.
And having those extra dice does give you a little bit more strategy.
Absolutely.
Yes. You're able to kind of mitigate some of the randomness.
Sure. And that's where I'm going. Like, you know, even in that opportunity where you say, you know, I just really need to get a certain rock. You're like, oh, I'm going to throw my 4-sided die because really, I mean, we're talking 75% chance of getting that rock here. And how many times did Justin and I throw a bloody 4?
Every time. For that first game, every single D4 rolled was a 4.
You don't think that that's going to happen, right? And you're just like, wow, this is so incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
But, I mean, given what Adam is saying, I can appreciate that. I just wish that, I mean, maybe they would have been the ones to say that to us. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe they could have put that forward and would have said, you know, you have a team of Delvers and kind of laid that out for you, because
you wanted to go in even more detail. Like, the 4-sided die is the picker and the 6-sided dies are all the spademen.
Well, then I think thematically it would have told me that the dice were my people that were going to explore, as opposed to
you could have called the 8-sided die the explorer because he's going to get you the rune, and the 4-sided die is the scavenger or something. I don't
know. Well, now we can put out some branded dice that say that. Oops. That's an expansion that we can provide for this game.
Right. On a 4, it just says,
Brotherwise Games, go ahead and just get in contact with us. We'd love to. We'll pitch you some ideas.
We'll get Lanny to 3D print some with a little middle finger instead of a 4.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. And I'm assuming Brotherwise is a fairly small company.
I've never played a game from these guys before.
Well, and it's actually quite funny because while we were playing the game, and I probably shouldn't admit this, while we were playing the game, I looked at their logo, and their logo just makes me think of like Harry Potter fanboys.
Yeah, with the little like owl and stuff.
Yeah, the little very cute wizard owl. And it's quite funny.
So, Brotherwise are the company that's behind Boss Monster.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, and it looks like, again, I'm just on their website right now. It looks like they are a smaller company, and it looks to me that they have 3 IPs under their umbrella, one of which being Boss Monster, the second one being Unearth, and the newest one appears to be called Call to Adventure.
Okay, so they're of the smaller company size, but they have, you know, they're on the bigger of the smaller company sides in the sense that they have multiples. They're not just a one of.
Yeah.
Boss Monster is fairly well known.
Yeah. And in my opinion, Boss Monster is a fun game to play.
Yeah. I agree on that one.
So they're not
new to the block.
Yeah. No, and they're not super tiny. Like,
well, I mean, they're small. They're small, but they're not like they're not like a little indie game company releasing their first game. You know, this is not somebody's first go at chasing after that sweet
Kickstarter money.
This is a pretty
big leap. Cool Mini or not, chases after that sweet Kickstarter money. Oh, so let's not open up that can of worms, this podcast is about to become 3 hours long. I will get up on my soapbox and shout from the heavens, shout to the heavens. Even
this is for somebody who has probably paid somebody's paycheck from Cool Mini or not.
Oh, at least. Probably more than one person's. Probably a senior exec's paycheck.
But it is a very, I will say, art style wise, and yeah, I'll say art style wise, it's a huge leap from Boss Monster to this. Like, well, Boss Monster
it's very different.
Yeah. Very pixel art. Yeah.
That's what it's intended to be, right? Yeah. It's supposed to have that epic pixel art.
But the pixel, like, so Boss Monster, you, like, when you look at it, you see very, like, 8-bit Nintendo game.
Yep, right.
Right? Whereas this is very, like, futuristic.
Surrealism.
Yeah, and it's definitely not, like, I mean, really, can anybody here think of a game that this resembles, like, would be in the same...
Minecraft.
Yeah, Minecraft without the pixel art aspect.
There was that like it's more shaded app based game with the cubes that you would stack up.
What you're talking like Beasts of Balance?
Yeah.
Like in that realm.
Yeah,
maybe not exactly Beasts of Balance, but in that same kind of
cubism.
But yeah. I think it's a leap for them in the sense that they go from a very heavily concentrated thematic area to something that's.
Yeah.
A little more outside the box. So I think that there's a big leap for them for a small company. Kudos to them. I don't know. My personal thought.
Do you think it was a leap worth taking?
I'm going to plead the fifth for the next 15 minutes.
10 minutes of silence.
If we're talking strictly about art style, I think the art style is
wonderful. Oh, no, the art style is awesome.
Very coherent. It all makes sense. It looks good.
Yes.
They're all very different.
The theme itself is amazing.
I meant the game.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Oh. I'd play it again.
I thought it was fine.
No, it's a fine game. It's nothing outstanding. You're not going to see it. I mean, well, obviously you're not going to see it on a Spiel des Jahres slip or something like that as a nominee or something like that.
It's not refined enough.
Which, I mean, Spiel des Jahres is, I'm sure we've talked about this before, but just in case anybody doesn't know, Spiel des Jahres is the game of the year, basically. It's like the Oscars or what have you. It's a big award for board games.
The German Oscars for board games.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not refined. Like, it has a really good theme idea. I love the theme. I love what they're trying to get at. I just don't think they've gotten there.
Yeah.
I don't know how much the theme really carries.
It doesn't. And that's why I'm trying to separate them. Because
they have a really good concept for mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
They have like their concept for mechanics is thought through. You know what I mean? It's not something that they just kind of threw darts at a dartboard and is like, well, we're going to put a whole bunch of popular board game mechanics up on this dartboard and I'm going to blindfold myself and throw darts at this thing. And then when I take the blindfold off, this is what we're going to make. It seems like they actually tried to get a good amount of cohesion into their mechanics. And then they just dumped a bucket of theme on it. Like,
oh yeah, definitely. You know, it is.
But they're two very different things, right?
Oh, definitely.
And that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying that they're the theme that they picked, I love. I wish that the theme that they picked was
I want more of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I want the theme in a game. And that's not what we got. But with that being said, where they've started with this game, because it says right on the box, first edition, first printing. So that to me means, hi, give me some feedback. We need to fix something. There's going to be a second edition. Maybe, hopefully. There needs to be some refinement and you need to bring the two together better. I think you're in a good starting place. Like, I think that you're getting there. You're like halfway up the mountain,
okay.
Maybe three quarters of the way up the mountain. You're just not there yet. Apparently I'm being nice. I don't know. I'm getting a look from Justin.
No. I was just, there was a nod. I was nodding. What do you think, Tom?
I thought it was fine. I mean, it's not exciting very much. It's not very exciting to me. I mean, I want to play a game where you're digging through relics to find cool things and you sort of don't get that. And it's sort of disappointing. I love the art. I even like rolling dice. It's just not very exciting, I guess. I don't think there's not much that makes me think. You know, if I see that there's a shitload of sixes on one thing, I'm just not going to pick that. I'm going to go somewhere else if I want the thing, or maybe I'll try to do something funky with the Delver cards. But I mean, other than that, there's not much to think about. And one thing that I did notice throughout the two games that we played was there was an awful lot of people on their phones. Maybe
there's a lot of
drifting attention. So that's, I mean, that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with having a game that is chill and relaxed. And that's what this is. Yeah. Like, you can put it out and you can, like, not think about it too hard. And you can swear at your friends when they scoop something from you, which is great.
Yeah.
Love doing that. A lot of fun when you just get to, sorry, Justin, I was just took all your cards that first game. It was great.
I know.
But, like,
all those fours.
You know, those moments of me feeling like, oh yeah, that really worked out were pretty few and far between, I think. And there are other games where you can zone out that don't really have as much going on, that you don't have to read the rule book for 15 minutes. And, you know, there are games where you can just sit down and roll some dice and have a chat and swear at each other that aren't as, like, convoluted as this. So I just wish that there was more there.
Yeah.
It's understandable. I mean, I agree with you in the sense that I'm very guilty of the phone thing. I was pulling out a game on top of a game is really what that comes down to. But that's when it really came down to it depends on how everybody rolls, depending on what's going to happen when it comes to me. And I'm not going to make any decisions about my upcoming turn until I see.
There's no way to really plan ahead.
Yeah.
And that which leads to distraction when it's not your turn because there's nothing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, I'm going to liken this to another game again. So
Tell me more. In
that situation, like in situations where you and again, this is I'm going to make two comparisons. Actually, I'm going to draw two parallels now because I just thought about it a little bit more, and I'm going to draw two parallels. And this is probably one of the biggest comments when you compare, again, we'll use Magic the Gathering as an example, right? When people compare the card game Magic the Gathering to another collectible card game that goes by the title of Hearthstone by Blizzard Entertainment, one of the biggest things that people argue about, and it usually comes from the Magic camp towards the Hearthstone camp, is talking about when it's not my turn, if it's not your turn in Hearthstone, and the same thing is here in Unearth, if it's not your turn in Unearth, I mean, you could literally go and do just about anything, because the amount of reacting and the amount of interacting you're going to do and the amount of action you're going to take when it's not your turn is next to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is so minuscule. And again, it just comes back to these feel bad moments about, hey, you know what? I'm sitting on a five on this ruin. This is great. It's about to go to scoring, or it's about to get what is it, discovered or whatever. Right. It's about, you know,
we're about to claim it.
Yeah. We're about to claim it. That's it. We're sitting right on the claim, you know, like the next die roll, basically, as long as it's not a one, you know, or maybe even if it is a one, we're going to claim this thing. And I'm sitting on a five. I'm thinking, great, I can do it. And then somebody rolls. It's like, oh, well, I got a six. It's like, okay, wicked.
Yeah.
Like, I guess that, you know, my investment into this was just wasted time, right? And anytime that the thought creeps into someone's head about wasted anything, that is not a good thing in gaming.
I mean, that's pretty much how I felt most of the game. Even when I got the tile, it was just like, oh, I randomly rolled higher than everyone else, so yay. Or I just rolled lower and it was just like, eh. Like, there was zero...
There's no attachment.
Attachment.
Yeah, there's no attachment. There's no attachment. You just kind of, like, you just kind of go through the motions, right? Like, you're just doing things autonomously. Oh, it's my turn. Okay, pick a claim or pick a ruins to go explore. Pick a guy to go send there. Roll the die. Did I do better than the best person that's on that ruins? If yes, I feel good. If no, I feel bad. End of story. And that's it. And it's like, there's nothing to drive you. Right. And, and I mean, one thing I will say about this game is I think it's in terms of accessibility, I think it's quite accessible. Like there's not a lot going on there. Like there's not a ton of strategy to break apart. Like it is just pick something, roll a die.
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best. Right? You're not sitting here and you know, you don't have to treat it like a game of Axis and Allies, right? Where you're trying to dissect every little.
Well, I think your strategy comes down to a very minimal amount of strategy, in the sense of I have 3 6-sided die, 1 4-sided and 1 8-sided.
Sure.
There's the majority of your strategy.
And most of it is, do I want the stone or do I want to try to get the tile?
Like, how hard do I want to push?
If I want the tile, I'm going to go for whatever has the most points on it and try to scoop it. Otherwise, I'm going to try to roll something low on a different one.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's kind of it.
Sure.
Do we feel ready to review this bad boy?
I think so.
Sure. Final judgments. Dun, dun, dun. We've got to come up with a name for this other than just review.
Final judgment.
final scoring.
Gravedigger.
Oh, dear.
I like final judgment.
Yeah, the post-mortem.
Post-mortem, yes.
Oof.
Let's put this one to rest. Postmortem. Yeah. What do you think, Debbie?
I gave it a 3, which for me is meh. I kind of struggled between the idea of a 2 and a 3. 2 is don't buy it, and if somebody wants to play it, placate them. I don't know.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I don't want to be that harsh on it, because I can see where they're trying to go with it. The problem is that, do you give them a score because they're a small company and you can see what they tried to do?
No, that's all this is.
And that's exactly, that's what I mean.
This is your product.
If you want to support that company, go buy Boss Monsters.
Go buy Boss Monster 3 times over.
So, I mean, it's definitely kind of in that wavering of the 2 to 3 mark for me. I'm going to give it a 3 because it still has some merit to it. I like looking at it. I like the cards. I like that piece of it. And, you know, if we were here and Tom said, hey, guys, like, let's play Unearth, I would not argue. I wouldn't be like, oh, God, please don't bring that out. So I feel like I kind of have to sit in the 3 range. I don't think I can give it a 2. But, I mean, that thought is nipping at my heels. So that kind of leans a little. But, yeah, I'm going to give it a 3. It's meh for me. Adam's shaking his head. Tell us how you really feel, Adam.
No, I'm just saying no pillow punches here. Like, it is what it is, right? Like, this, you know, people are listening to this podcast. People are going to listen to this podcast and they're going to see, I was thinking about picking up Unearth. These guys are reviewing Unearth. I wonder what they have to say about it.
Right. And I'm not saying, but my point is that I'm not saying that anybody should go out and buy it, but I'm also not saying that anybody should go out and, like, make a point of not buying it, right?
That's fair.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is merit to it.
Sure.
And I get it. And there are some people, I'm sure, that are out there that probably will like it.
Sure.
I'm pretty middle ground on it. There's a lot of improvements that can be made to it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Again, this is a game that has a place. I think the place that this game has is with people who are newer to hobby board games. Absolutely. I know you're shaking your head, Justin, and that's fine. But, like, I think it's more to people who, you know, are more into roll and move stuff. Like, the accessibility factor is there, right? This is not going to be a game for people who have spent years playing hobby board games and playing chunky, heavy board games, like people who, you know, sit there and play Twilight Imperium because, you know, for hours on end because they enjoy that sort of thing. People who sit there and play Memoir 44 or Axis and Allies, right? That you know, really, that just really, like, absolutely love that chunky, brain-burning strategy game, because you're not going to find chunky, brain-burning strategy here at all. And if you are, not a fan of crazy RNG or random number generation, aka dice rolling. Like if you're not a fan of rolling a die and being like, geez, you know what? All I need is a 5 or a 6. And if you're one of those people who's going to be absolutely frustrated or otherwise, you know, lose interest in a game if you don't hit that 5 or 6, if you're one of those people that would absolutely just be like, well, this is bullshit, I'm just going to walk away from it, don't play on Earth. Don't do it. Go play something else.
Can I ask you a question, Adam?
Sure.
Do you look at the numbers or the ratings that you've given to other games when you give your rating to this one?
Generally speaking, yes, because I like to keep them all on a scale. Yeah.
Okay. So just this is like regression 101.
Sure.
So I gave WoW a 2.
Okay. Okay.
I would not give this a 2.
I gave WoW a 5.
Okay. So I'm just saying, so for context,
yeah,
this is not, I wouldn't say this is nearly
as flawed as World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Okay.
I gave Unstable Unicorns a 2.
Okay.
Well, I think that might even been a little bit high. I'm sitting here looking at, like, because I have all my, like, I you know, like,
I keep
again,
record of it. I just tend to not look at it. And I went and looked back while you were talking.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to what you guys are saying about my rating. And I go back and I look at it. And given the context of what my other rating is, I sit more at a solid 3 than I would not give this a 2.
So, so I mean, for those of you out in podcast land, those of you who can't, who aren't here in the room or can't see us, I mean, each one of us has a book, right? Like we all make notes in these books, and we all keep track of our ratings in this book.
Except for Tom, because he's just I'm going to keep it or I'm going to get rid of it. Yeah, that's all there is.
Yeah,
it's more binary.
So yeah, like I have all my notes, and I'm looking back at Unstable Unicorns, and I gave it a 3.5 out of 10. And again, the more like again, the further out I am from that. From that review, the more I want to lower that score, because it sets a standard for other games that, you know, I feel aren't that good.
Yeah, it's and easy
I
to
mean,
compare
I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, Unstable Unicorns was probably one of the worst games I have played in a long time. Like, it is bad.
Right.
This is not the episode for that, and I'm not going to carry on with this, but that game was absolutely god-awful.
Right. Okay, so then if we were to compare it with one of our other kind of lower set
games, but you use WoW, right? So, So at the end of the day, I gave WoW a 5, right? Yeah. So I gave WoW a 5 out of 10, because, like, again, pretty flawed, but there's that nostalgia factor there, you know, so on and so forth. Just, again, not a great game. Unearth, I gave a 6. The reason why I gave it a 6 is I think the art style is quite nice. The surreal art style is lovely. And, you know, taking a quick look, and again, I'm not saying that the price really affects my review that much, but I went and looked up the cost of Unearth. So you can get a copy on Amazon in the States. You can get a copy for $19.95.
Ooh.
Right?
That's cheap.
If you're going to get it in Canada, it's going to be $29.95 because we get hammered by the exchange, et cetera, et cetera.
That's still
it's not bad.
That's the price of Unlocked.
Sure.
If you play that game once.
Sure. Sure. Right. So, and again, like, I'm not saying that the price of a game should affect anybody's review, and it didn't affect my review. I gave my score before I went and looked up the price, but after giving it a 6 out of 10, I went and looked up the price, and you know what? For $20 US, I've spent $20 US on some real dumb shit that like, you know, and this,
it's recorded, people.
It is. And I think that you can easily get $20 worth of enjoyment out of this game.
Yeah.
Well, start with the things I like. The things I like about it, I love the art style. I think the art style is interesting. It's neat. I think it's accessible to a lot of people, right? Again, I think that you don't need to have a history in hobby board gaming to figure it out. The things I don't really like about it is it, you know, like, it's being so dice heavy, it just brings about all these feel bad moments, which I've discussed earlier in this episode, right? You roll a die, I need a 5 or a 6 or a 1, 2, 3. Oh, you know what? I got the 4. boy, that fucking sucks. Like, it, yeah. it feels bad.
Do you think that that, okay, sorry. Do you think that's woe is me? Or do you think that that truly is like the game creates a solemn undertone because of the fact that you are putting
no.
that? Or do you think that it's just a, like, people that are dramatic are like,
No. I don't think it creates like a solemn undertone. I think it just like, I think they're just dice based or games with high amounts of chance to mm-hmm. them just can tend to create. You'll remember like the one time that it went really well for you, but then you'll think about it a little bit deeper and you'll remember the 15 times it didn't. You know yeah. what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember when Dexter Drake did nothing but shoot doves out of his coat in Elder Sign?
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling great about that game.
Yeah.
Feel bad moment right
just,
there.
Just okay. just no, like, I oh, it. all I need is the one skull. And it's just like, I'm rolling 12 dice. There's no way this can go wrong. And then it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, and that's,
and
yeah.
it sucks.
And yeah. like you guys, it's like, oh, there's a six on this thing, and all I need is anything bigger than that, or a five, right? And you're just like, all I need is a six, or I could go with a three or two or a one. I don't care. Any of those results are fine. And it's like four. God, why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the multiple paths of victory. That's one more thing that I don't think we've talked enough about, is the fact that you can go by trying to capture territories or capture ruins.
Take a shot.
Thank you. I think it's nice that you can capture ruins by rolling high.
Yeah. I don't think they're even.
No, they're definitely not.
No, I don't think that you can. I don't think you can win the game by going after
purely stones and stones, wonders. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Two more shots.
But you can't get like you can't. But it is pick a, nice, a route because it is
random. Yeah.
It's random.
And you're like halfway through and you're like, man, I'm going to start undershooting everything. And you're just like, fine, well.
Yeah. That's like, well.
Either, right?
Oh, just sixes and
I'm
fours.
Just, I'm just going to sit here and roll my dice and let my
that's
dice.
That's all you can do is, yeah.
No, that's it. Like,
it's kind of an illusion of strategy with a consolation prize. Than an,
sure, yeah. sure. Well, what's your take on it then, Justin?
For me, zero thumbs for me.
Zero thumbs?
Yeah. It's Ooh. Not bad. It's not good.
My first, just like a deadpan even.
Yeah, like it's my first kind of thought. I think it's like, well, this game's not terrible.
Oof. That's not a good thought. if that's your first thought, I mean, that's problematic in itself.
Yeah, and part of it is like I like a lot of RNG heavy games with lots of dice hurling. Sure. Like you know, even like Axis and Allies, you're rolling a lot of dice, or yeah. like Red November. Mm-hmm. Where at least you have some sort of mitigation or you have some sort of strategy around that you can build, even though you're going to be hurling dice that are going to sort of mitigate or randomize some of that. But at least you have some sort of thing to go into it. With this, it's just kind of like the only decision is, all right, which colors do I have? Okay, that one, I'll try for that. And then you roll the dice and it's like, it's either you feel good because you got it, or it's like, oh, that's kind of middle of the road. I'll probably not get anything. So I'll wait. So, I mean, the first time we played it, I was not really that invested because every time I rolled, it would just be four and then someone else would get the tile. And I didn't have any stones and I didn't have any cards. So I'm just like, well, I you know, halfway through, I'm like, well, I know I'm not going to win and I know I can't really do anything to influence the game state. So I'll just pick a card and roll because it's not even any strategy where you can sort of. A lot of games, even with dice, have like some way you can change the game state by either, you know, going for something to force somebody else to change their strategy to like stop you. Whereas in this, it's just, you know, you pick a card and then you roll. And yeah, I was just kind of bored. The second time I played, I kind of changed my strategy around as much as I could. And I'm just like, oh, I'll just go for whatever has the most dice on it, roll my biggest dice and hopefully steal it. And I mean, that worked. So, but I didn't feel any more invested really. I was just like, oh, well, this seems to be the way you win. There's no real point going for the stones because I think by the end of the second game where I won, I had four stones and didn't complete anything.
Sure.
Well, Adam had three friggin' hexes.
Yeah, you had three full wonders built.
And you weren't...
Well, because that's what I was trying to do, because, like, I was kind of looking at it, and, again, in the second game, I thought I would try something different, and, I mean, it does give you these options. So, I mean, off the start, I definitely was not, like... going with conviction one way or the other. But when I started rolling and I, you know, rolled my first couple six-sided dice and I got a three and a two, I was like, okay, well, if I'm already going knee deep into Stone Town, like I might as well, go to the hip, you know? Yeah. Like, so, I mean, I just tried to wade right into the stone stuff.
And that's, yeah, I think that's it. The game was okay. It had some minor strategy, but not enough to really change how things are going to happen. And in a way, it kind of felt like a role and play game. But even with something like that, I would probably have more fun playing like Candyland or something. Oof. Because at least there's a bit of a visual competition. Like maybe I'll roll a bunch of sixes and I can get ahead of somebody. Sure. Whereas in this, it's just like, well, maybe I'll roll and I got another four or five and it's just not quite enough, or it's not low enough, or I get a whole bunch of low ones and I just can't get any traction. So it felt like no matter what you did, it didn't really matter. And yeah, so when it wasn't your turn, it was kind of boring. And then it was your turn and you would quickly roll and then it wouldn't be your turn again. But the box is really nice.
Oh, boxes. Okay. Art style is lovely.
I love the top of this box.
Yeah,
no, I did not at first. Yeah, it's got all the dice there. I remember looking at that, and yeah. I remember when I first looked at it, and I was like, "What on earth does that
mean?"
No,
like that. That's
what is that? But those are the dice you get.
Yeah, that's why. Like for my review, it's purely just how fun, how engaging was the game, and the game itself is not fun or engaging. But I think they nailed it on the box. Yeah. I would never buy this game, but if I ever got a copy for whatever reason, I would proudly display it because it looks really nice. It's nice. A beautiful box, yeah. But it would never come down from the shelf.
Okay. Does rebuild come into this at all?
Yeah, because you're trying to rebuild the lost land. That's why you're trying to reclaim it and rebuild. That's why you're building the wonders and stuff.
Okay, yeah. Okay, got it. Sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, I can't. I wouldn't recommend this game. I wouldn't have a strong desire to play it again. Like I would rather play like level 7 Escape or even WoW the board games over this. Oh, but it's okay. it shows promise and I like that they're trying this. And I like kind of the concept, but it's just not enough to actually make me want to play it again.
Yeah.
And that's about all I can say about it.
Tom, are you a keeper?
So do you want a copy of Unearth? Because I could give you this one.
I do have a space where I could nicely display it.
Yeah,
it
right.
Look really nice on a shelf.
So if you're new to this podcast, my rating scale, because we can't have enough of them around here, is whether I a keeper or not keeper. Because I have 300 and some plus, probably going on 4 at this point. This game is, it's not one I think I will keep around, but it's close. But it's just not exciting enough to beat out the other 300 or so games that I have. Like, the benefits are, it doesn't take a long time, it's not very complicated, and the art style's nice, but I could say that about, like, four or five other games that I have around.
Half the games we reviewed so far have been short, and I'd rather play them.
I mean, I was looking for dice roll games that I was like that I could point to, but I can't find them off the top of my off the top of my head, and I can't see them around. They're probably buried in here somewhere.
They're hidden somewhere.
But like games that don't take a lot of time and have like an immediate presence, like Potion Explosion is one I see here. It's like it's there. You pull marbles off and you put them on a thingy, and it's like tactile and clacking everywhere. It's a lot of fun. It doesn't take a long time, right? This just doesn't have enough to make it fun. Like it's not like like you said, it's like when it's not your turn, it's really boring, and then your turn is so quick that it's like and you're bored again. So it's just like I think it has a place in like a very chill scenario. If you have to have
super chill game,
one game that you just roll some dice and
I mean bang I does could that, though.
Bang the dice game.
Yeah, Bang the dice game. Because
Bang's also a different game that's not a dice game.
Yeah,
there's two versions of it.
That's why you have to say Bang the dice game.
Yeah, sorry, Bang the dice game. Sorry, that's the only version that I've actually ever played.
So anyway, yeah, my thoughts on that. It's just not exciting enough for someone who has 400 games to recommend.
I mean, if you're looking for a dice chucker with you know, a little more something to it, I mean, Roll for the Galaxy comes to mind.
But I'm talking about, like, I don't know, I haven't played Roll for the Galaxy, but I'm talking about, like, uncomplicated.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like rolling games. Like, this is not that hard to figure out. Like, if you take away the art style, you've got five colors of cards and you've got four colors of discs and you've basically, like, got the whole components of the game. Like, it doesn't have to be thing. So it's uncomplicated. It's on the higher end of, like, being complicated because you've got the extra cards and stuff, but it's not like mind blowing or anything.
No.
Dice Checker. Sorry. This just came to me. Las Vegas.
Oh, that's Vegas is good.
Las Vegas. If you want to toss dice and that's what you want to do, you do not have it. I don't believe we do.
Yeah.
And that actually is amusing. That one I actually quite enjoy.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's all that is literally just throwing dice.
Cool stuff. What do we do next?
All right, guys. Let's get plugging.
All right, let's all plug Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we made that joke already.
Yeah, let's do it.
It never gets old.
All right,
It really does.
If you need to get a hold of me, you can at me on Twitter, Team Rage Tom, Team Rage, T-O-M. We've also got the podcast Twitter, at CGS Podcast. We've got the email at collapsinggameshelf@gmail.com. We've got the website, www.thecollapsinggameshelf.com, which will take you to wherever I've hosted this thing, and that's where you can find all of the episodes. If you don't get them from Google Play or iTunes, that's where you can hit it up.
You can find me on the Twitch box, twitch.tv/forthewin, website forthewin.com, Twitter and Instagram at forthewin. That's FORTHEWHYN.
That is the slowest I've ever heard you spell that. I'm very proud of you.
Well, because, yeah, normally I don't rattle them all off really quick and then be like, wait a second, what if people try to spell it the way that you would think it was spelled?
Yeah.
You would end up somewhere you did not want to be. Potentially.
Potentially, I mean, yeah.
Jeez. You can reach me on Twitter at Mrs. Wynn or Instagram at Mrs. Wynn. W-H-Y-N is how you spell our names. Yeah, otherwise the podcast, I try to pay attention as much as I can, guys.
And hi, I'm Justin, your resident Luddite.
Why do we even go to you?
And if you want to reach me, please use the Collapsing Game Shelf Gmail account or the Twitter, and I'll take a look at it, because I have no social media.
I don't know why we even bother asking him. Someday he's going to have something, and it's going to shock the shit out of everybody.
It is.
If you liked this, please like and subscribe this on wherever you found it. If you want to do us a big favor, share it with a friend or someone that you think might like this and give it a 5-star review on whatever it is. That would really help us out. Again, if you want to send some feedback, that'll probably
even
go.
Even a 4-star deal, right?
No, you always ask for five.
Five. Okay.
You ask for
five.
You ask for five. You don't give them any other option.
Nothing.
Five or
even
nothing.
Even if you hate us, give us a five. Give us some constructive criticism.
It's like five or don't bother. That's what I was told.
Ooh. All right.
Yeah. Oof.
Just like that.
What? I've said it worse before.
That's true.
Yeah.
Before it was five or go fuck yourself.
Ooh. That's how to make friends and influence people by one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. By one, Team Rage Tom.
Yeah. I didn't get to where I am by making friends. That's for sure. So, is that it?
I think that's it. Yeah.
That's her.
Cool.
So, Tom.
What are we playing next?
Well, let me go to the randomizer.
Sorry, I stole your line.
What, is he going to do the randomizer noise now? There's a lot of tongue in that one.
The profession.
Conan.
Like the late night TV show host? Or
Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, like an axe to the face.
I think it would do us some good to get a little bit of competition, a little bit of heat in this room.
Get a little bit of Conan in you.
There's been too many co-op games.
I believe Adam might be the only one in this room that has not played Conan thus far.
That's correct.
And I think that we are going to give her a...
Well, I don't think I played it correctly.
Well, that is true. I also don't think that
that was my fault.
Everybody, please take note. Justin has admitted that it is his fault.
Sometimes I play a little fast and loose with rules.
As a general bit of advice to anybody, if somebody in your group says, yeah, I know how to play this, don't trust them. Read the rule book.
Just take a quick glance at that rule book.
Maybe like an FAQ on most forgotten rules or something. Just like quickly scan through because there's a real good chance that guy's bullshit.
So we are going to play this again and we're going to play it with Adam. And we're gonna get a little anger out.
And some people going to die in the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the game.
Join us next week for Conan. Where someone gets an axe to the face.
Conan or Conan?
Conan?
Yeah, we'll find
out. I guess Conan's different. Where Conan gets an axe to the face. Not the same thing. Join us next week for Conan.
The Barbarian.
Boop. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.